I actually heard Alex Jones on InfoWars.com say the other day, he says, quote, "We're building the new world order." Wow, I coined that phrase, I think. I coined that phrase, the new world order. I think I did a month ago, and now Alex Jones actually said it, which is amazing. Good morning, everyone. This is Martin Zender. Remember, the new world order is being built, obviously, by evil players. And there are good forces, legitimately good forces, fighting it. And the good forces, again, don't realize that they're going to construct a good environment for everything, for people, for businesses, for the world at large. As goes the United States, so goes the world. It's going to be a time of peace and prosperity. And this will never be called the new world order, but it will be an order of some kind, and it will be a stealth new world order. Those of us in the know, those of us who know what God is doing, we know that deception comes clothed not in darkness, not in black cloak. No, but deception comes clothed in light. For Satan himself is a messenger of light, and his ministers pose as dispensers of righteousness. So, Nancy Holland. Yes, the Nancy Holland saga. I'm telling you, we had a really good time together. She is back home. I want to report to you. I failed miserably in giving you the address so that you could send cards. And so she's already home. I saw her to the airport, and she really improved rapidly in her rehab after breaking that hip. And so she wants you to know that she is back home safely. And, you know, we don't plan these things that God does. God throws a lot of curveballs into our plans. But when you look back on it, and sometimes even when you're in it, you realize that you're seeing his wisdom. And he has derailed your wisdom, or what you thought would be the wisest thing to do. He's derailed that. And he's giving you something that is probably harder, that you probably would not choose for yourself, but that is ultimately for your growth and your expansion. And Nancy touched so many lives while she was here. The staff at the hospital, except for that emergency room, were pretty good. They were nice people. And Nancy just glowed. She always looked so beautiful. Her hair was always done up nice. She had these white earrings in. And everybody that saw her said, "Wow, don't you look amazing?" So let God be true. Let God do his thing. And let's put our plans forward. You're supposed to do what you want to do. You're supposed to make your plans, and you're supposed to carry them out. And you just trust that if it gets derailed, it's of God. If it goes through, it's of God. Because guess what? All is of God. You might be hearing it here first. Glad to tell you that. Revelation 21, verse 5. "And he who was sitting on the throne said, 'Lo, new am I making all.'" You see, he's in the process of making all new, even while he's going through this tremendous process. We've been 6,000 years since Adam. But remember, to God, 1,000 years is as a day. So to him, it's a very short time. So he's not slack concerning his promises. We say, "Are you going to make all things new?" Okay, when? And he's not slack about that. But we, as we count, he's not, the scripture says, tardy, as we consider tardiness, because our time frames are completely different. And so God looks at 1,000 years like we look at the time from when we get up to time we go to bed. That's 1,000 years. And so 6,000 years would be a week, right? A week in God's mind. And he, even then, he's speaking to us relatively, because it's probably as a second. But he's giving us some sort of time framework in order to judge things by. I'm sure it's more radical than that, because God's not even the absolute God is not even in a time realm. But since we can't even understand something that has no time, we can't understand eternity, that concept is foreign to the way our brains are constructed today. We can't comprehend it. We can't comprehend a God who had no beginning. And so we give up. Just give up. Don't even try to think of it. And God understands our handicap. And so he just throws in something to give us a nice comparison. A day is 1,000 years. It's probably more radical than that. But he just throws that out to give us, throw us a bone. So all this time he's been making all things new. And so to his mind, in his mind, he's always doing that. Even though we think things are going backward. No, it's all being made new. But we're just looking at it so incrementally. It's like we're following the stock market hour by hour. Up, down, up, down, up, down. I can't be in the stock market because I just can't take it. Is it up? Is it down? I just can't handle riding the waves. When you're thrown into this life, you must ride the waves. You have no choice. And so just know this, and that God's always progressing toward making all things new. New am I making all. And he could have said that from day one, and he has been making things new from day one. We're just stuck in this slog down here. It's a grim, grim slog on this earth. Doomed. You know what? There was the word doom. Is it? Maybe that's in the King James Version. Death will be no more, no mourning, no clamor, no misery. Maybe the King James has doom for misery. I thought of that word the other day. Doom. The word itself speaks of what it is. Doom. Doom. It's this dread you have. And I think this is probably a trigger for some of my depression. This sense of doom. That things are going to go bad. That you're one day away or 1 hour away from horrible news. And unfortunately, we subject ourselves to reports of doom. On all the networks, there's nothing but reports of doom. And predictions of doom. But on the new earth, there's going to be no more of that. No more of that. They're just going to take the M off, and it's going to be do. That sounds much better. I look forward to do. Bring on the do. But doom, just adding that M does something to the whole word. Drives me nuts. And he is saying, write, for these things are faithful and true. And he said to me, I have become the Alpha and the Omega, the origin and the consummation. I have become. Well, he's always been the Alpha and the Omega, the origin and the consummation. But again, these are time words that help us. Because I think this is why he says become. I have become these things. Because this is him stepping down, condescending. And this is scaled back. I mean, when you say he's the Alpha and the Omega, wow, that's everything. That's amazing. The Alpha and the Omega, the origin and the consummation. And we're so floored and we're so impressed. And he's rolling his eyes like, oh my God, the things that impress you people, honestly. Because origin and consummation are time words. And he has to condescend even to tell us that. You understand, right? You understand. He has to condescend even to tell us that he's the beginning and the end. In Isaiah 46:10, one of my favorite verses, God knows the end from the beginning. We're like, ah, the end from the beginning. Most Christians don't even believe that. They don't believe he knows the end from the beginning. Because, again, they believe we have free will. And if you have free will, you can't know what's going. If humans have free will, then God can't know what's going to happen ahead of time. Because if he knows what's going to happen ahead of time, then it has to happen. And if it has to happen, then it is impossible for you to have free will if it has to happen. So we look at the beginning and the end. Wow, most Christians don't believe that. But if you're enlightened, if you come to see the light about God, that he has everything planned from the beginning, he knows the end from the beginning, it's mind-blowing. It's like, wow. But this is like God's going, shh. Again, the things that impress you people. I mean, it's amazing if you believe it. But it's more than that. He's not only, does not only know the end from the beginning. He knows it before. I mean, he's got things so wrapped up. It's nothing to say he has time wrapped up. But again, few people even believe that. So whenever he wants to impress us, he brings in the entire gamut of our known time, which is origin and consummation. God had no origin. Mm-hmm. He had no origin. But there's an origin of time. God created the eons through Christ, Hebrews 1:3. Created the eons through Christ, a time frame. And he's the God of the beginning of those eons and the God of the end of those eons. Here, we're seeing him as a God of the consummation of the eons. And he says, I'm making all things new. I make all things new. And this has been going on from the beginning of the eons, steadily, on course, increment by increment, always becoming new, even though as we see it from Earth, there seems to be retrograde. When a planet is in retrograde, if you look at it from the Earth, it appears to reverse in its oscillatory course, and it's called retrograde. But it's an optical illusion. It's not really doing that. It's only relative to the motion of the Earth. A little complicated. But to our viewpoint, as we go through this linear hell, it looks like there's so many retrogrades, so many things going backwards, so many things failing, so many things that are stuck and not progressing. But it's only because of these Aeonian blinders we have on. It's only because our viewpoint is so limited. If we could see as God sees, our lifespan. See, I'll try to do the math live. This is a big mistake, believe me, because I'm terrible at math. I'm a man of literature, you see. But if 1,000 years is a day, then 500 years would be half a day. I'm trying to figure out what our entire lifespan is to God. So I'm reducing it incrementally and hopefully in a balanced way. So 1,000 years is a day. That would mean 500 years is 12 hours, which is half a day. That would mean that 250 years is 6 hours. We're not at a lifespan yet. What's half of 250? 175? Let's say that it is. Yeah. 175 would be 6 hours. Am I doing this right? Half of 175, now this is getting bad on me. 80 something? 90? Well, I think I'm down somewhere around 3 hours. The lifespan, your lifespan to God is like 3 hours. You know how many little changes you have in 3 hours, but you have a goal for what you're going to do in the next 3 hours. And like you're going to go to the mall. So you plan to go to the mall and you're going to go to the mall. You have to go to the mall, let's say. It's Christmas Eve. You got to get a present for your kids. Not that this ever happened to me, last minute shopper. Come on, me? Well, yes. And so there might be little things that set you back as you're preparing. Like you go out to your car. Oh, I forgot my keys. You're still going to the mall, but you come back to the house to get your keys. That's a retrograde, but it has no bearing whatsoever on your progression of going to the mall. In fact, it's part of you going to the mall to come back to the house to get your keys. Then there's a detour on the road, and you have to go to the left. You want to go straight, but you have to take a little jog to the left, to the right, back to the right, and back on your path. It's another delay. But you're still going to the mall. You're progressing. It's part of the progress. This is 3 hours, and it's probably less than that. I mean, it might be an hour and a half. Just to give you a perspective that when God says here, I make all things new, he's been doing that since the origin. He's been doing that since the Alpha, the beginning. He's been making all things new. So I hope that this will give you a piece concerning the torture that is time. We are tortured by time, especially here in Florida. The stoplights are unbelievably long. Especially if you're at a light waiting for the traffic on Davie Boulevard. I don't know what it is about almighty Davie Boulevard, but it's like the King's Highway. If you're on Davie Boulevard, you are golden because everybody else is going to wait for you for a long period of time. 3 miles of traffic can go through on Davie while you're stopped on 9th Street, and that's a fact. And it's tough to take. So I myself am going to try to lift my thinking And I think we're invited here in Revelation 21, verses 5 through 6, knowing God's the Alpha and the Omega, the origin and the consummation, and that He makes all things new. I think we're being invited to apprehend as best as we are able God time. And to see that He's always progressing. And when it appears like things are stuck, when it appears like even things are going backwards, they're really not. It's forward, forward, forward. Always with God, things are being made new, even as we speak. And we await these things with confidence, because one of the greatest lines in this chapter of the unveiling, He is saying to me, write, for these sayings are faithful and they are true.